Der hört immer und schaut am Finger. It will take a lot of time if we read it all inside, so just to summarize briefly before we comment. And the Bachia says that the Chiyuv of the Chiyuv, which we've seen, the Chiyuv of approaching the world around us with discernment to recognize the Yad Hashem, Chochmas Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. So then Rebbe says sometimes that Chochmas Hashem is more obvious, sometimes it's more subtle, and depending upon to what degree it's obvious, to that degree it's exoteric and everyone can easily appreciate it, and other dimensions and other facets of the Briya, the Chochmas Hashem is much more subtle. He goes on to say, if you have this edition, it's on page Kofei. If you don't have this edition, it's towards the, I don't know, approaching the halfway mark of the parak. He says, Hapikeach Hanovam, the astute person, Yasek Min Ha'olam, will infer from the world Yediyas Ruch Neyuso Udvarim Ha'adinim Shevo, spiritual matters. The Yasem Sulam, he will use them as a ladder, Lilmod Mehen, to learn from them Alvore HaKol Yisalem, about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubechach, and in so doing, Matel Al Atzmo, he will impose upon himself Mishmato, the obligation to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'avodoso, and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kefiro Memuso, V'Gadluso Belibo, according to the degree that a person has apprehended the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will purify from the material of the world what he needs for sustenance, he will abandon other excesses, hamatridim es halavavos, which distract and deflect the hearts, me Hashem yisadu v'yisomen. V'yishtadu b'maso, he will make a concerted effort, l'man achriso, for his ultimate destiny, u'l'mashi agia elav l'acham oso, and for the fate that awaits him after his death. V'yikba b'dato ki olam hazeh v'chol ha-shibo ma'avor le'olam ha-osid. It's a transition to the future world, olam ha-bo u'la'achariso. L'fichach, consequently, lo'keyachu mimenu, a person takes from this world only that which is beneficial for him in that quest. The one who is foolish in his encounter with this world, and even in his encounter with the Chochmas Hashem in this world, Osa Osa Navehu, he makes this world into his abode, the Olam Nitzcho, and into his eternal world, Umishtada Lema'ano B'chol Yecholto, and he exerts himself entirely oriented and geared towards Olam Hazeh. Ve'eino ma'ala alibo, and it doesn't occur to him ki yegiyo, his toil, ve'odef v'chushovo, and his accumulation of properties, ovel lezulaso v'chayo v'achamoso, is transient. He doesn't retain it. And he totally ignores his ultimate needs. And then he goes on to draw an analogy to two brothers to illustrate this point. First, it's just interesting to notice, Rabbeinu Bakhi says that even the person who looks for the Chochmah in Olam Hazeh can do so in a misguided fashion. It's very much comparable, I think, to rephrase what he says in modern terms. Someone who approaches the world, who studies science, and the driving force is the technological advance which science can facilitate, or even the questions which science can answer, which preoccupy contemporary science. How old the world is, how was the world created? And at no point in their study of science, in their study of the world, do they stop to look for or recognize the Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem in the world, Chochmas Hashem? And this analogy of the person who, even the traces of Chochmah in this world, he's totally geared and oriented towards Olam Hazeh in his pursuit of the Chochmah, is very much paralleled nowadays. Its contemporary counterpart is on, again, the emphasis on technology and history of the world to the exclusion of seeing Yad Hashem reflected in the world. There's also another theme here which Rabbeinu Bakhi is assuming. Rabbeinu Bakhi clearly considers it a mitzvah to study science and to study the world. That's quite clear. The entire Shah is Shah HaBechina, that there's a chiyuv to be discerning about the world, to understand the world. At the beginning of this parak, he says that the way you go about understanding the world is to understand the various yesodos, the building blocks of the world, what the world is composed of, and how it functions, and how it's purposeful. So he clearly considers it a mitzvah to study science. There's no two ways about that. And yet, it's quite clear that the person who studies science without the proper goal and without the proper motive doesn't just seem to be in a lower class, doesn't just seem to be doing the mitzvah, shalav shleimusa, doesn't seem to be doing a mitzvah at all. In his mashal, in his analogy to the two brothers, so it's quite clear from the analogy that the foolish brother, the brother who lives for the day and doesn't engage in long-term planning, the nimshal being whether one lives for Olam Hazeh, whether one lives for Olam Haba, it's quite clear that this foolish brother is being indicted and condemned, and there's no saving grace to what he's doing. There's no silver lining to the cloud. So why is that? If it's a mitzvah to study science, to study the Chochmas Hashem in the world, so let's say a person does it purely for purposes of technology, and not for the purpose of encountering Hashem. So let it be Shalol Lishma. Let it be Almanas Elios Oshir, Almanas. But Shalol Lishma it should be. It should be a mitzvah Shalol Lishma. Elamai, Merbachi means as follows. We find the Rishonim saying, even the Mandarama mitzvahs einen tzvichas kavana, even the Mandarama mitzvahs einen tzvichas kavana, and if you eat matzah the night of Tesvav Nisan, so you yotze the mitzvah, even without kavana, you have to know it's the night of Pesach. You have to know it's the night of Pesach. You have to know it's matzah. You don't necessarily have to have a hinani muchan and zuman to be mekayim mitzvahs matzah. You can do it because you're hungry. You can do it because you're hungry. That can be the impulse. But you have to know that it's the night of Pesach, and you have to know it's matzah you're eating. Otherwise, even the man d'ram and mitzvahs ain't in tzvichos kavana, you're not yotze. Why is that? What's the pshat? Pshat is as follows. Machlok is mitzvah tzvichos kavana, ain't in tzvichos kavana. Whether or not kavana lotzeis is indispensable for the mitzvah. But everyone agrees that if you would be a total misasek, not know what you were doing, everyone would agree. Let's say the Gemara says explicitly in Rosh Hashanah that if a person is sometimes lucid and sometimes he's not lucid, maybe he's an epileptic, whatever the diagnosis is. So if he eats matzah at the time when he's not lucid, so he's not going to say the mitzvah. That's it. You still have to be a badass. You still can't be a misasek. Kavana is dispensable, but you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know it's the night of Pesach, so the matzah isn't really a heftzah shel matzah. It's indistinguishable from chametz, from ice cream, from any food. So in order for this just to be a heftzah shel mitzvah, in order for you not to be a misasek, even without kavana, you have to know that it's the night of Pesach, and you have to know that it's matzah. You have to know that it's matzah. Kayotzei bozeh. If a person approaches the world, a person takes their course in chemistry, biology, physics, astronomy, whatever it is, takes a course. And the subject matter of the course is defined as, again, the basic concepts of chemistry. Basic laws and concepts and mathematical equations of chemistry. So that's one course. That's one chetzah. Or a person can take a course in chemistry, but the course description can be Chochmas Hashem as reflected in the branch of science known as chemistry, which will include a discussion of the basic laws and concepts and mathematical equations of chemistry. So the subject matter in most of the lectures and most of what's said in the lectures will be the same, but yet the heftzah has been identified very differently, a difference which parallels whether a person eats matzah knowing that tonight is Pesach, or whether a person eats matzah unaware that tonight is Pesach. When a person eats matzah unaware that tonight is Pesach, so the chal doesn't have the chashivas of matzah for him. He's not just lacking kavana latzeis, he's not just lacking that intangible of kavana latzeis, but it doesn't even have the chashivas of matzah for him. Because matzah, b'shoyim al sashana, is insignificant. It has no special status. So too, the reason Rabbeinu Bachya dismisses in very strong terms someone who studies and someone who sees Chochmas HaOlam but doesn't see Chochmas HaOlam as a sulam lulmo mehen al habari, doesn't see it as a ladder leading you to Yediyas Hashem, so he doesn't know he's eating matzah. It's not just that he's not doing it Shalal, it's not just that he's doing it shalal lishma. It's not just that he's doing it without kavana. He doesn't know this is matzah. He doesn't know it's the night of Pesach. If a person studies science because this isn't just the world, but it's olamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he studies science with that intention and in that context, so that's one pursuit. And it's entirely a different pursuit. It's not just that the motive is different, but the heftzah, the subject matter of his study, is totally different if he's studying the world. He's studying the world, not Olam Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With this in mind, yeah, keep this distinction in mind, I think you'll see a Diyuk Nifla in the Lashon HaRambam. In the famous Rambam, the beginning of Perek Beis of Yisodei HaTorah, Halacha Beis, Rambam writes, Heichi HaDerech LaHavasu V'Yirasu, and Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam quotes the Pesukim, V'Hatas Hashem Lekecha, As Hashem Lekecha Tiruch, as a mitzvah, V'Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Heichi HaDerech LaHavasu V'Yirasu, where does a person get the impulse for Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? So the Rambam writes, B'Shar She'is Bonin Adam B'Masav V'Buach HaNiflam HaGdolim. When a person will reflect upon the actions and creations, the wondrous actions and creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yir mehem chochmaso, and he will discern the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'em la'erech v'lokeitz, it's infinite, and you can't even evaluate it, miyad u'ohev u'mishabeach, so immediately a person will be overcome with a sense of ahava. So if you'll notice, the Rambam is very careful. Rambam is dying to write, B'shar she'is bonin ha'odam. He should have said, or could have said, B'shar she'is bonin ha'odam bebruim ha'nifloim ha'gedolim. Right? In the Bria. Rambam writes, B'shar she'is bonin ha'odam b'ma'asov u'bru'ov ha'nifloim ha'gedolim. The possessive with a capital H, right? His actions, his creations. So what? Why not just B'shar She'is Bonin Adam Ba'olam? We know who created the world. We know. We already, like the famous joke with the Apikaris and the Briska. It's the Mefurash and Rambam. We know who created the world. We already know that from Paragalfi, sorry, I tell. So that's basically B'shar. So you don't have to tell it to us again in Perek Beis of Yisrael HaTorah. So what's the emphasis in this context of the Ma'asa of Ruach HaNeflayim? Ella Heim Heim Advarim. That's the same notion which underlies this Perek in Rabbeinu Bachya. The Rambam says, no, don't think that if you enroll in astronomy, physics, chemistry, biology, whatever it may be, so don't think that that's going to impel you towards Avas and Yiras Hashem. What I am promising you is that if you will identify your subject matter not as bruim hanifloim, not as the bria, but as bruov hanifloim, the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that will be the context in which you study, if that will be how you identify your pursuit and your quest for knowledge about the world, because it's not the world, it's not bria hanifloim, but it's bruov hanifloim. So then the Rambam tells you it will be an immediate, instinctive response of miyadu ohev. A person will be inspired to ahavas Hashem, to yiras Hashem. But this is emes tzufa, as any truth of Torah is eternal. And yet, it's probably even more true in the world we live in than it was in the Rambam's day. It was true then, but it's probably even more true now. It's even more true today that unless a person approaches, again, his study of the world as a whole, as ma'asav u'bu'av ha'nifloyim, that there won't be any mitzvah component, and it is highly, highly unlikely that he will gain in terms of his yiras shamayim from that pursuit. The reason for that is that the scientific establishment today, by and large, doesn't. I'm not talking about the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists now. I'm talking about the others. by and large, what they stand for is totally antithetical to Emuna and towards Yesodos Hadas. You don't find in science textbooks, you can check, you don't find the word God doesn't make it into the textbooks. Doesn't make it into the textbooks. And the reason is that the way the self-perception, which the scientific establishment has of itself, is that their success in understanding Chukei HaTeva, in understanding the laws which govern the natural world, so they mistakenly think that the degree to which you can give natural explanations, so to that degree, you don't have to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's being supernatural. And that's why the entire endeavor of science today, and has been for a while in the modern era, is totally permeated with basically with an atheistic approach. Now again, if the same Chukei HaTeva would be studied and discovered as evidence of and as reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it remains a very valuable endeavor. But certainly today, where not only would the pursuit be neutral, but on the contrary, the unwritten and unstated bias is antithetical. So certainly today, to undertake any study of science without this a priori understanding that what you're studying is ma'asav u'bruach hanefloyim, so certainly any such endeavor would not yield positive results. This is consistent with the theme which we developed a few weeks ago, the time we gave the mashal of sometimes you can have a certain picture and you have a design which is embedded in the picture, so if you're sensitive to the design and you're looking for it, so then you'll detect it. But if you're not sensitive to it and you're not looking for it, so then it will remain undetected. And so it is with Avodas Hashem, and this is just another instance and illustration of that, then Avodas Hashem, you have to be looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't just go through the motions and wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to overtake and find us, but you have to be looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't just go through the motions of being bochein the world, as Rav Anavachi would say, of being discerning about the world and seeing Chukei HaTeva. No, so then you'll miss the geometric design. You'll miss the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who stands behind the world. You have to be looking for Him at all times. Perek Daled, Menabachi goes on. And he categorizes that the seven different areas in which the Chochmas Hashem can be discerned in the Bria. And he lists the seven categories. For the most part, straightforward, just wanted to comment briefly. The sixth of the seven groups, so Ben Bach says, Hayesod Hashishi, Ikvos HaChochma HaGluyim, B'madayim, U'bimlochos, U'bimasim. Again, this is a little bit halfway through the parak. Hayisar Shishi Ikvos, the traces of Chochma HaGluyim, which are revealed, B'madayim, U'bimlochos, U'bimasim, Asher Nasan Hashem Yisrael Mem Shemo B'Lev Ha'odom, Ha'shlomas Tzrochol, Vahasogas kalkolaso, ushoto aliyosav, haklavios vahapotios. ועליהם רמז הכוסף באמרו מנסה מסך ריבינו ועומר החוסר על השולם כי השם ייתן חוכמה מפיר דעס וצרונה. The capacity which man has to manufacture for all kinds of applied technology to satisfy his needs, so that human capacity itself, so where does that capacity come from? It also comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That too is a reflection of the Chochmas Hashem, that he gave us this capacity to develop technology which will address our needs. It's interesting that the Rabbeinu Bachi here is being very limited. He's not saying that any expression of human ingenuity is a reflection of Chochmas Hashem. He doesn't say that Hayisod Hashishi Ikvos HaChochma HaGluyim B'chol Maasei U'B'chol Sifrei HaAdam Al Kol Ofanot. He doesn't say that. He very carefully limits it to when we take advantage of the abilities and capacities and potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us for purposeful knowledge. Or in other words, it is on occasion erroneously suggested that any branch of human endeavor, just by virtue of the fact that a person is B'Tzelem Elokim, so that automatically validates and gives importance to any cultural pursuit and validates any endeavor. And that this should then be included in the definition of Chochmah, which then it becomes an appropriate subject of study. Ben Bachi is very careful not to say that. When Ben Bachi says that there are seven areas in which we can see Chochmas Hashem, so he doesn't say the entire gamut of human endeavor. He says, those madoyim, sciences, melachos, processes, asher nasan Hashem lahashlama b'leiv ha'adam lahashlamas tzrachos. Well, in other words, the point here is as follows. Very often in the discussion of what other disciplines are meaningful, so there's a distinct lack of rigor in those discussions. So everyone knows the Midrash in Eicha Rabbah, which is quoted all the time. That Bagoyim ain Torah, so Torah Bagoyim al Tamin, but Chochmah Bagoyim Tamin. The Chochmah can be found, is found, even amongst Chachmei Musa Olam. There's a bracha for Chachmei Musa Olam, so apparently there's such a thing as being a Chochmah in Chachmei Musa Olam. And that's undeniably true. Those are Mufurusha Halachas. However, what the follow-up that needs to be done, and very often this follow-up is not done rigorously enough, is to understand what Chazal had in mind with Chochmah. The fact that Chazal clearly indicate that there is such a thing as Chochmah Bagoyim, that there is such a thing as a Chacham Mechachmei Umas HaOlam, the side of whom would be mechayev you in a bracha, the side of whom would be mechayev you in a bracha, that doesn't necessarily mean that the definition of chachma is what is everything that the goyim will tell you is chachma. It doesn't necessarily mean that whatever secular definition of chachma or culture is current in the times we live, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what Chazal had in mind by chachma by goyim. And this is very clear in Rebbeinu Bachi. He doesn't tell you, he doesn't just say, well, any human endeavor is chachma. No, he says in terms of the seven areas, so one of the seven areas in which you see chachma Hashem is, but not any area of human endeavor automatically. So it's very important to follow up after quoting chachma b'goyim tamin v'chulu and similar such rabbi mekomos. It's very important that be followed up by trying to find how in Chazal and in their wake in the Rishonim how this chachma was defined. So Rebbeinu Bachya talks about it in his Hagdama to Chol Mos Halavos. He talks about different disciplines within Chochma. So there are some things that are there, there are lots of things that are not there. Lots of things that are not there. You have to begin with, of course, with the Mishnayos, Gemaros, Kufos, the Gematrios, Taperos, the Chochma. Chishev Tkufos Umazomos. But the assumption automatically that because there is such a thing as Chochma, that Chochma is then going to be defined by whatever the contemporary culture defines, is a very wrong and misleading assumption. At the end here of this perek, Rebbeinu Bachya says, in the last 10 lines or so here, Perek Vav, Rebbeinu Bachya writes that for Omru ki dargas hateva biyachas latorah, that the level of teva of nature, biyachas latorah in relation to Torah. He could dagas for Eved biyachas la'adono. It's similar, is analogous to the relationship of a slave to his master. She'en kochos ha'teva nohagim b'nihu ha'olon el l'fima she'toi mes ha'tova. Ke'en ma'ama ha'kotsu v'avatim es Hashem elokeichem uverach eslach mucha ves mimecha v'hasirosi machala mikirbecha. This is a very, very fundamental understanding. What's the relationship between Chukei HaTeva, nature, and between Hashgacha Pratis, between divine providence? So the Rishon, Rebbeinu Bachya, is not the only one who discusses it, but Rebbeinu Bachya says it's very fundamental, and I think by and large the accepted approach. Mitzad Echad. So we clearly don't deny that there is such a thing as Teva. We clearly don't deny that there is such a thing as Teva. Even the famous Ramban, the other Pashas Bo, which is often cited, even the Ramban elsewhere speaks of Teva. So even though the Ramban has to figure out what the cause of Ashlishi is, even in the famous Ramban at the end of Pashas Bo, we talked about everything being Nisan Nisarim, but yet, Me'idach Isa, the Ramban in B'chukosan, we're talking about the Fua, says that if you trust doctors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sotaka, Teva, Dazru, in Breishis, on Kiyadativ, the Ramban also speaks clearly of Teva. So we don't deny Teva. You see, we don't deny Teva. We have a din of Ein Sonkan Alames. We have a din of Virapa Yirape. So we clearly don't deny that there is such a thing as teva, that there are natural processes in the world. So we had in Tzachim. Even Shluchei Mitzvah, who have Avtacha, the Ein HaNizokin, so Mamakim the Shkiach HaZekah, so what does Shkiach HaZekah mean? By natural, according to natural laws, right? According to the natural probability, possibilities. Shkiach HaZekah, probability. So even a Shliach Mitzvah has to be Choshesh for... for Teva. The mitzvah of Ma'akeh, as the Sefer HaChinuch explains, V'sisu Ma'akeh l'gagecha, l'sosn dom v'esecha, ki yipol ha'nochel mimenu. So what do you mean? Either it's Bashar Yishapal or even Bashar Yishapal. So apparently, Rabban Bachke says, but achre kechlas hakol, we do recognize there is something as teva. There is something as teva. Ma'idach gisa. So how do you say hatzur tamim paolo? Everything is just. We assume that everything that happens to us is just. Hakol bidei shamayim. So how do you reconcile these two? So what Ben Bachke says is very important. Ben Bachke says as follows. We do deny teva in the following sense. Here, we'll quote a Rambam again. Not so much. The Rambam, these inyanim, is a separate discussion. So we're just taking one halacha in the Rambam for our purposes here, not discussing his overall shita here. The Rav underscored time and time again the very first halacha here. Yisara yisadz v'amun ha-chokhmos. So last week, you remember, we spoke about the significance of Chochmos here. Leida sheyesha motzei rishon, v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. V'chol ha-nimtza mishamayim v'oretz, v'ma shebeinehem lo nimtzu ela me'amitas himotzo. So the Rav emphasized the present tense in the Rambam. That whom mamtzi kol nimtzo. Rambam doesn't say himtzi. Rambam doesn't speak of Briyas HaOlam as a historical event, but mamtzi kol nimtzo. He brings into existence all that exists, v'lashon hova, in the present tense. I think they say from the Rosh Hashem Tov. Rosh Hashem Tov says, La'olam Hashem t'vocha nitzav v'ashamayim. So wasn't it La'olam Hashem t'vocha nitzav v'ashamayim? So it means that, so Rosh Hashem says it means, Ba'asar ma'amaros nivah'olam. Right? The world was created through ma'amaros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So La'olam Hashem t'vocha nitzav v'ashamayim. Wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it? You say something, so it's gone, right? Whatever sound waves emanate from your mouth when you speak, so they dissipate and finished. You spoke, but my words aren't still my words of a second ago are not still hanging in the ear. So what does it mean? What does the pasuk have in mind when it portrays the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La'olam Hashem Tvocha Nitzav V'Hashamayim? So the Hashem Tov says that's what it means. It means that the ma'amorim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brought the world into existence, so those ma'amorim are still there because it's a constant process. It wasn't a one-time historical event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly and continuously wills the world to exist in the present tense. The same emphasis as the Rav saw in the present tense in the Rambam of Mamtzi Kol Nimtza. See, in that sense, we do deny teva. In that sense, we deny teva. There has always been a philosophical position which compared Briyas HaOlam to a watchmaker who makes a watch. Kayadua. Right. They give that analogy. But the same way the watchmaker was instrumental, and without him the watch wouldn't exist. But once he set the watch in motion, so then the watchmaker is totally removed from the functioning of the watch.
So in that sense, in the sense that teva is something automatic, in the sense that teva is something immutable, in the sense that teva is something blind, in that, well, the laws of nature say that if you're drunk, you won't be able to drive straight, and you might plow into someone else's car. In the sense of chukei ha-teva being blind and immutable and absolute, so in that sense we deny chukei ha-teva. In that sense we deny chukei ha-teva. To the degree that chukei ha-teva would impinge upon the justness of and justice within the world, within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, so we say no, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled these chukei ha-teva and Rachman al-Atzlan retired. No, chas v'shalom, that's not the case. It's la'olam Hashem tvocha nitzo v'ashamayim, mamsi kol nitzo. And as such, those chukei ha-teva don't reign, again, blindly and absolutely. They're not immutable, but rather, to the extent that there is no clash between the chukei ha-teva and Torah, so to that extent we recognize teva. We don't deny teva. And to that extent we say that in Som Chanalanes. And to that extent, so we're not Christian scientists and we go to doctors when we get sick, because in Som Chanalanes, so we work through natural channels and we have a mitzvah's market and you put on a seatbelt when you're driving the car. Because chukei ha-teva do exist. To the extent that chukei ha-teva can blindly impose a fate upon a person, a fate which would be unjust, so to that extent, we deny teva. To that extent, we say that, yeah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can manipulate teva, but whether or not this drunk driver hits the car head-on, doesn't hit the car head-on, or some other variable, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates teva, that, albeit usually in a fashion of nes nisto, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates teva, that teva shouldn't impinge upon the hatzur tam in polo kichol drachov mishpat. Okay, Perek Hey. And Shara B'china Ben Abachi continues and says that of the seven areas which if we would explore we would find traces and we would see Chachmas Hashem reflected, the one which is closest to us, which is most immediate, is studying the microcosm of man. Ikvos ha-chokhma ha-gluyim, the traces of chokhma which are evident b'min ha-adam, in the species of man, shehu ha-olam ha-katan, he's a microcosm. L'ficha chayovim anu lehizbonein, the very first paragraph here in Parakei, l'ficha chayovim anu lehizbonein b'reishas ha-adam v'gidula, so therefore we are obligated to reflect upon the entire lifespan from conception on, which is what Rabbeinu Bachya proceeds to do here in Parakeh. So I just want one general order, and then perhaps to give one example. We're not going to read the entire Parakeh, is rather lengthy. I hope you will if you haven't yet read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing together. One general order about the entire Parakeh, and then we'll choose just a few lines to illustrate this with. Rabbeinu Bachya's lesson, simple but profound, perhaps profound but simple, is that there's so much to be learned and inferred just by not taking things for granted. That's the entire theme of Shara HaBechina, but particularly here, he describes miraculous nature of development from conception through adulthood. And when you stop and think about it, it's fucking mind-boggling. Nothing comparable. There's so much in terms of niflos habore, which you don't need scientific discoveries, even without the Hubble telescope. That's good, but even without that, even without seeing what's going on 100 million light years away, and the outer recesses of the universe, so much just in our everyday experience. But only if we wouldn't take things for granted, there's so much of the flows of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if we wouldn't take it for granted, we'd be simply inundated with reminders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And that's perhaps the most important of everything he says throughout this entire shahr, is not to take things for granted, to stop and reflect upon things. And then without discoveries, without discovering new planets, without discovering new theories, without discovering, that adds and that enhances. But there's so much just if we would stop taking things for granted. So we take things for granted because what's familiar, we take for granted. We know, ein navi b'iro. Ain't nothing be evil. Otherwise known as the grass is always green on the other side of the mountain. So that's a tendency we have, and it's a tendency which robs us of so much chizuk in emunah and so much inspiration, which is so readily available in the world. Further on in this parak, in describing the infancy of a person, so he describes the miracle of nursing, how a child is never deprived of food, how the flow of milk is regulated to exactly to what the child is capable of handling. Then he says, Achakach yischazek gufo, he grows, he strengthens a little bit, ve'oz yiras ha'tzvoyim, ve'yishmas ha'kolos, he becomes aware of the world around him, ve'yiten Hashem chemlo ve'rachimim b'lev horov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instills compassion and mercy in the heart of his parents, kidei lohakel aleihem gidulo, to make his upbringing, his raising, easier for them. V'ya'adifuhu al atzmon b'machol v'mishteh, they give him precedence to over themselves. They put the child before themselves. First they feed the child, and only then will they themselves eat. V'yekel aleihem tircho v'koshi gidulo. And again, he lightens the load of raising him. K'gon v'chitzaso v'nikuyo v'hatipulbo al kocho shel hatinok. But the love which parents have is what energizes them to do what otherwise would be too burdensome in terms of child care. This is another example of what, again, of the general theme of the parak. I'm not taking things for granted. And here, the Rebbeinu Bachi is saying something very profound. Some of you might remember, a couple of years ago, we once spoke about this. Why is it, given that the world around us abounds with Niflaos Hashem, Chochmas Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. Why are we so blind to so many of them? So we saw, Rebbeinu Bachya discussed already three reasons, three causes for our lack of Bechina, our lack of discernment. But there's another one also. Besides taking things for granted, which we... There's another one also, and that is... It has been commented correctly. We know that our language is a vehicle for expression. That you communicate through language. If I'm thinking to myself, would you please lend me a pen? So if I don't have the words to express myself, I can't communicate that to you. So if we share a common language, we can communicate. I can tell you what I'm thinking. Can you please lend me your pen? And you can tell me what you're thinking. Barach. So we communicate. It's a good thing we had language. We were able to successfully communicate. But there is another, and sometimes we're more subtle, dimension to language. And that is that language is not just the vehicle of expression of our thoughts, but the language we're taught influences our thinking. It influences our thinking. The categories of thought which are embodied in a language then influence our thinking. Case in point. Everyone is familiar with the phrase maternal instinct. Everyone knows it. Maternal instinct. What does maternal instinct mean? So, instinct... Oh no, I didn't bring my Oxford World Dictionary, and I... Oh, you did. But, so instinct means something natural, a given. So maternal instinct means that mothers, as a given, so mothers react and have compassion for children. That's what maternal instinct means. But because of that association of instinct that we have, so instinct, we know there's a survival instinct, we know there's a maternal instinct. We're familiar with various kinds of instincts. But right away, when you hear the word instinct, so that tells you right away, don't ask me any more questions. Because once you say it's instinctual, that means we've analyzed it, and we identified it as an instinct. There's nothing more to be understood. There's nothing more to be gained by probing any further. Because that's what an instinct means. An instinct is just like in geometry. It all comes down to what your axioms are. So once you say something is axiomatic, so you can't ask, well, why is it? So axiomatic means, well, no. Those are the axioms which you establish, which you're assuming. So instinct has that same connotation for us. It's something axiomatic. It's a given. So when we hear instinct, so we don't think about it. We don't reflect. We stop thinking. Because that's what instinct means. That's what the word instinct means. So this is an excellent, excellent case in point of where language and where phrases that we're taught don't just facilitate expression, but actually influence thought. Really, the correct description is it's not a maternal instinct, but it's a God-given, almost superhuman, supernatural capacity for compassion and for concern. And it's this Rabbeinu Bachya which underlies the Ma'amor Chazal. We're all familiar with the Gemaras and Kiddushin, that Hishva HaKosuv Kibra Avayim Ufro HaMotam. And Hishva HaKosuv Mora Avayim Umara HaMotam. So Ilmale Ma'amor Chazal Nemu Iyef Shehoyo La'omra. If Chazal hadn't said it, you couldn't say it. How can you say that the Torah equates anything with Kol HaMotam? How can anything good. So kibud av v'aim is very important, and filial responsibility is very important and very central in v'chulu. But how can you say that the Torah equates anything with kol hamakom? It's lo mitam lahayomel. Chazal said. The famous Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says in tradition, Kishama kol kari de'imei, when he heard his mother's footsteps, said, Eikon mibnei ha-shechina. Let me get up for the Shechina. Again, if it hadn't been a Gemara, you couldn't have said it. But in Gemara he nekab. So what does the Taka mean? What does it mean that Rabbi Yochanan heard the pitter-patter of his mother's footsteps and says he has to jump up for the Shechina? Where's the Shechina? So the Teretz says that capacity which Rabbi Yochanan's mother had of Vatidat Shnasi Me'ena, of at any hour, day or night, to be at the call and beckon of this little infant isn't a human capacity for compassion. Doesn't make any sense. Because B'derech HaTeva, everyone is self-centered. But that B'shvili Niva Olam doesn't require, a person doesn't have to, the story told of Charles Salanta used to pace up and down all night saying, Minalo Tazua, Minalo Tazua, Minalo Tazua. You don't have to pace up and down all night and say, B'shvili Niva Olam. You don't have to chazer too much. It comes very naturally. B'shvili Niva Olam is very, we have an instinct for that, for B'shvili Niva Olam. People are self-centered. And yes, this self-centeredness, notwithstanding, there's a tremendous longing for children. And once you have children, the capacity for self-sacrifice, which people have for children, is unparalleled anywhere. And even within their own lives is unparalleled. So what's Pshatna? So Rabbi Yochanan knew Pshatna. Rabbi Yochanan knew that paternal instinct, that parental instinct, that maternal instinct is really a God-given capacity, and that his mother was the shluach d'rachmana to bestow chasadim upon him. It wasn't a natural instinct. It wasn't a natural instinct, again, somehow or other, it's axiomatic, it's a given. No, that's mechaste Hashem. That's mechaste Hashem. And that's an expression of the rachme Hashem. The irrational compassion and concern which parents have for children, and the mice say it's totally irrational. Totally irrational. The irrational compassion and concern which parents have for children is a me'ain of the rachme Hashem for people. That's what Rabbi Yochanan recognized. Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, his mother's coming. So his mother's representing the Shechina. That maternal love which she has wasn't her own. Wasn't the human. She realized the capacity. She carried out the Shlichus. But that capacity was a God-given capacity. And in that sense, so she represented the Shechina for him. And in that sense, so Hishvah Kosov, Kibud Av V'Aim L'Chavad HaMakom, because really, who are you respecting? You're really respecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you recognize that the parents are emissaries in terms of that overflow of Ahava, which parents have for children, so they're merely agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we miss it all with one phrase. We call it a maternal instinct and finished. We call it an instinct and finished. And we miss everything. So besides taking things for granted, we also have to be acutely aware of biases which our language and the surrounding culture imposes upon us. That's what the Rebbe Bachi, he says it here and he repeats it again later, that this parental capacity is v'yitain Hashem chem l'v'rachman b'leif ha'ruch. And that's how a person is supposed to view it, as a pale reflection of the Rachmei Shamayim for us. And if this is the Rachmanus which human parents, who achrei kol hakol, even with this parental capacity, are limited. Parents also lose their patience with kids. Even with the parental capacity, are limited. So achas kama v'kama, the rachmim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for people. So something like this is a very powerful illustration and case in point of how, if we don't take things for granted, how if we're not distracted by the phraseology, how we can have constant reminders and constant inspiration from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all around us. Okay, so we have the next Thursday, we'll continue.